Vegas Golden Podcast. This is day 12 of our player per day preview series. I'm Case Kiefer with Justin Emerson, and the 12th player should be an interesting one. I feel like this could go a lot of directions. It is Brandon Peary. A little bit surprised, I guess, if you go back to the end of last season for him to be on the roster. I probably would have guessed he was a guy that was going to move on, but the Golden Knights moved swiftly to lock him up for, I don't have his deal in front of me, a couple more years, another year.
Yeah, he got a two-year deal at $775,000, so about 10% over the league minimum per year.
So I'm taking the words out of your mouth because you said this about Brandon Peary, but a big opportunity for a guy that, I don't want to call him a journeyman because he's still young, but he's played on several teams through his still somewhat young NHL career. This is an opportunity for him to, you know, prove for once and for all he belongs and, you know, play on a Stanley Cup contender. I think that it was a very good offseason for Brandon Peary.
Of every player that was on the roster at the end of last season, if you would have told me to pick one player who would for sure not be back, would have been Brandon Peary.
How good to know I wasn't going out on a limb with that one. Yeah. It's like it's a surprise he's back then.
Yeah, I just thought, well, and I guess looking back at it at the time, we kind of thought Nikita Gusev was going to be a Golden Knight, and I think a lot of people look at Brandon Peary kind of as a Nikita Gusev light, just kind of a scoring left winger. But no, you're right. Peary's an interesting case. He first half of last year, he was in AHL Chicago. He was playing really well. He got called up and went on an absolute tear. He had 8 goals in, I was counting it, I think it was 11 games, his first 11 games with the team. 12 games. So 8 goals in 12 games, which, I mean, you prorate that out over the course of a year, and you're in pretty good shape. But that is not how things work. But I will say, he did finish with 12 goals in 31 games, which is a 32-goal pace over a full season. So his time was good. He was on the power play. He was playing well. He was sniping. He was scoring. It just nothing could go wrong those first 2-3 weeks with the team. It was becoming a joke. Like every time he scored, it was like, of course he did. But and I thought because of that, he was going to get a look somewhere else, that somebody else would like to take a chance on it. But he is back with the Golden Knights for 2 more seasons. And we will see what happens. Right now, I think if the season started today, he is your third line left winger, flanking Cody Eakin and Alex Tuck.
So I know you've said this, you know, you've always said he is the third line guy right now. Is it, you know, clearly his job to lose? Where's that kind of stand here at the outset of training camp?
I think he'd probably be favored for it. It depends on what they want to do with Tomasz Nosek, who in my mind is the, and I think we have we already talked about him?
We talked about him.
Yeah, last week.
It's been a lot. They've been adding up.
Yeah. I think he's going to get looked at for the fourth line center, but he did play on the wing last year. He'll be your third line left winger. Cody Glass could be a possibility if he's just blows him away in training camp, and if he needs to be on the opening night roster, maybe he or Eakin flips over to the wing. So I wouldn't say it's Peary's job to lose, but I would say that he's the favorite for it.
So there you have it. Brandon Peary, likely at least to start the year next to Alex Tuck and Cody Eakin. And we touched on this earlier in the week when we talked on those two guys. But that is a pretty explosive third line just as far as offense. I mean, you feel like all those guys can score given the right opportunities. It feels like they'll be able to put pressure on opponents. You know, all things considered, not a bad unit to trot out there behind your top six.
Yeah, if it's your third line that can put together, let's see if I can do math in my head, 54 goals, that's not bad at all. Let's see.
Peary, I guess, you know, we keep talking about how this, like, is his big opportunity, that, you know, he has a chance here. What do you think that maybe Vegas took a shot on him? What is, I guess, we kind of have like this unspoken subtext that there's something wrong with him. Not there is anything wrong with him. What are kind of the questions? Where do you think he needs to show some strides?
I think, and it's never really been a part of his game, so I'm really not sure if it's fair to ask now. But for a guy that has scored as much as he doesn't really pass that much, and maybe that's not fair. Let's just say statistically he doesn't get a lot of assists. He has 47 assists in 259 career games. For comparison, his goals are 72. So he has not quite double the amount of goals, but that's a very strange distribution. 12 goals, only 6 assists last season. So it would be interesting to see if he could kind of distribute a little bit more, but I think he's the trigger guy, on the trigger man on just about any line he's been on. So I don't think that's necessarily fair. I will say, for the same reason as some of the other guys we've talked about, Alex Tuch in particular, I'm not sure what his power play minutes are going to look like this year. He had quite a bit last year and scored. Computer taking just a little bit longer than I would like it to. He scored 3 power play goals last year, which added to the total. He had 9 at 5-on-5 and 3 on the power play. Not a lot of shorthanded goals from Brandon Perry, but he doesn't get any penalty kill time. So his expected goal numbers are, he's outperformed them just about every year of his career. So maybe that says something. His shooting percentage has always been high. But so you'd say it would probably regress, but if he does it every year, maybe there's just something to say about a guy like that. He's just got a really good shot that's going to outperform it. Alex Ovechkin he's going to outperform a average shooting percentage every year. And not to say that Perry's Ovechkin, obviously, but he shot 14% at 5-on-5 last year. That's quite good. So maybe he's just got a really good shot. And if anybody saw him last year, that's pretty clear to see.
Yeah, talented guy. And you mentioned that stretch where it just seemed like every time he had the puck, he was scoring. That was so much fun.
It was.
I don't know if he's going to be able to corral that again.
I wouldn't bet on it.
But still, I think that was one of those, I don't know, things you'll remember from the middle of the season that was kind of like the thing to watch for a week or two stretch.
Yeah, definitely. He had... what was it? His first 2 games, I think he scored 3 goals. Yeah, so, and then he scored 3 goals in 2 games 2 years ago. So in his first 4 Golden Knights games, he had 6 goals. That would be about 100 goals over the course of a season. That'd be fun. More than that, like 120.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty good year.
I can't count. That would be good. Yes.
I was just thinking about this. This is kind of apropos of nothing, but maybe everyone on the entire team... Brandon Perry might be the only person I've never spoken to in my life.
Oh, really?
So what's Mr. Perry like, personality-wise?
He's very nice.
Does he fit into the locker room well?
I'd said it last year, he's just kind of, and they all are at kind of their core, but, like, he's just a guy who's really good at hockey. Like, he's not going to big league it. He's not just to say that he's just happy to be here, because he's obviously working hard at it and wants to play in the NHL. But I do think that, and I haven't had a chance to talk to him about this, so this is just speculation on my part, but I do wonder if part of the reason that he was willing to sign with Vegas for 2 years was that in his worst case, he's playing in Chicago where his family is, so in the AHL. So he's either playing in the NHL or with his family, which is not a bad thing to do. I do remember that he was called up on December 20th of last year was his first game. He had a date set with his wife for that night, if I'm remembering correctly, and had to cancel. And it was kind of a, sorry, honey, I got to go to Vegas.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good, good tale. Hopefully she forgave him.
I'm sure he made up for it.
And hopefully now she's in Vegas to enjoy this full season. Yet another guy with the Florida Panthers ties. He played for Gallant in Florida, I think, for a little bit. We've already passed through Marchessault and Riley Smith, but okay. I really like the Florida Panthers connection.
Let's talk about this in Florida. 2014-15, career high 22 goals.
This is your favorite traditional stat total.
Well, we talked about it on the William Carrier pod, how he managed 8 goals and 1 assist last year. Brandon Perry... in 2014-15, had 22 goals and 2 assists.
I think that's even harder than the Carrier one.
How does that happen? You'd think that somebody would get in front of a shot and deflect it in. That would give you an assist. You would think that the goalie would stop it and somebody would pick up the rebound. That would get you an assist. You'd think that you'd be on a 2-on-1 and you would pass the puck. There are so many ways to get an assist and so fewer ways to score goals. So how he managed to have 11-fold the amount of goals that he had assists is mind-boggling.
Maybe we should have made his prop bet this year over under 1.5 assists.
The prop bet should be, will he have more goals or assists? Well, I guess that one's not even fair, because in his entire career, he's had
I said more
assists. Three seasons that he's had more assists than goals.
Yeah.
And some of those are truncated seasons, sure, but still.
Yeah, it's very interesting, for sure. Just, I guess it just all goes back to, like you said, he's a guy who's blessed with such a great shot. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, these guys kind of at the bottom of the roster, a lot of times they do have just that one great skill that's kind of kept them in the NHL, that's enabled their career. And I guess for him, it's a shot, and there's certainly worse things you could pick.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got, yeah, definitely. I mean, if you were going to pick one thing, like you want to be able to score goals, right? That's why everybody wants to play hockey. He's never played more than 60 games in a season. That year in Florida that I was saying with the career high in goals came in 49 games. So he's up and down, getting frequent flyer miles between Chicago and Vegas. But if he gets time and he's going to, if it looks like he's going to start the year, maybe he gets a chance to show what he can do and put together a career year. He is, you know, he's 28 years old, so getting a little older, but definitely not into the decline phase of his career. So given a real opportunity alongside some playmakers, I could definitely see him having a decent season.
Yeah, and if he seizes that opportunity, and I think just on the surface, it certainly looks like it doesn't seem like he'll be spending much time in Chicago this year. I mean, it's all up to him, right? If he, you know, can put it together, he's probably not going to rack up as many miles as the past.
Yeah, year. I think he spends more time in Vegas. I think a lot of the Chicago thing was because he was waiver exempt last year, so they were able to send him up and down without other teams getting a chance to claim him. He won't be waiver exempt this year, so they would have to put him out on waivers to get him down to Chicago, which I think at the rate and term that he's making, I do think he would get claimed. So Vegas might lose him if they try to send him down to Chicago. So I think he spends most of, if not all of the year in Vegas. I don't think he's going to play 82 games. I think he'll get scratched for some players from time to time, but I think he's going to play more than half the games and may set a career high. He played in 63 years ago with the Rangers. He could definitely pass that this year. And with that could come 15, 20 goals, which would be quite good.
Should be a staple at T-Mobile Arena either way. Because of all the factors you're saying, though, this guy was really hard to set a prop bet on. I have no idea.
I have no idea what you're going to pick.
The Westgate doesn't have him. He's part of the field for which Golden Knights player will score the most goals. The field's 10-1, which is everyone other than Stone, Pacioretty, Carlson, Marchessault, Tuck, Stastny, Smith, Eakin, and Noshik.
Noshik.
Yeah, Noshik 300-1. We should have mentioned that on his podcast. So if you're
good value there.
Well,
right?
we like Tomas Noshik. So the official, if you want to make the official Vegas Golden podcast player prop, 300-1, Tomas Noshik, 10-1 if you want Peary and the rest of the guys. I guess we just have to keep going with goals. So if he's on that third line, at least to start the year, we went Tuck 19.5. Eakin was 12.5. I don't know. Peary 11.5.
11.5.
You said 15 or 20. So
I said he could.
Yeah, could. Okay.
I mean, that's gonna come.
Well,
down,
I went with 11.5. I can be ridiculed easily. I can accept it now.
No,
I don't know.
Ridicule you. I made fun of you for the Nate Schmidt one, but
I don't even remember what it was. I just had no idea
had
10
what to, and a half for goals.
I just didn't know what to do with this for
career,
Brandon Peary.
So that was just ludicrous. But no. The Peary one, I kind of like. 11.5 is a good number. Let's see. So I picked over for Tuck, under for Eakin. I don't know. Perry's going to float around. I think he might get a look on the, I mean, if Pacioretty or Marchessault gets hurt, he's a left winger that could jump in there. 11.5, but he's not going to get as much power play time. I don't know. I feel like I kind of backed myself into the under bet on Eakin last time, and I feel like I kind of did the same for Perry this time, talking about how he's going to be on the roster and playing more. So I'm going to take the, I'm going to go over 11.5 for Brandon Perry. So that means, I mean, just kind of a thing here. I think Perry's going to outscore Eakin, apparently, based on these last two over-unders that I've done.
You know what? I think I'm going to go over, too. You just, having the visions of last year when he was on such a great run, it's just too much fun. It swayed me. So I'm going to hope that he gets on a run like that again. I think he could outscore Eakin. I don't think that's too crazy. I guess Eakin is more assured to get the ice time, be the biggest drawback, but I don't think it's too out there. So I think we will both go over on Brandon Peary. Should be a fun guy to watch this year and watch through training camp. So like we said, he has not locked up that third line spot. That's where we think he will end up, though. And that does it for this episode of A Player Per Day. For Justin, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to Vegas Golden Podcast.